Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Who is he? And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, when the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John 14:16-26. The Holy Spirit from John. We know that the Holy Spirit is a person rather than an impersonal force or power. John uses the personal pronoun, he, when referring to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, know that the Holy Spirit is not an it or a something. The Holy Spirit is he. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. He is equal in every way with the Father and with the Son. He has all of the divine attributes, distinctions and personality, as ascribed to the Holy Spirit. The qualifications for a person are that they have intellect, able to think and act upon their thinking. 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. Will. Self-identity. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Emotions. Able to react cognitively. Romans 15:30 and Ephesians 4:30. As personal human beings, we all have these qualities. Another quality of being personal is that one has life. A person is identified as a self-conscious being, cognizant of its own existence and the existence of others who also have a self-identity. A will indicates the ability to think, to reason, a choice to act, and having desire. These are things we associate with self-consciousness, which is exclusive to persons. All of these qualities the Holy Spirit has, just as the Son and Father. We find the Holy Spirit is the executive of the Father. He is co-creator of the universe, the author of divine scripture, the generator of Christ's humanity, the regenerator of the believer and the distributor of eternal life, for he also eternally exists. The Bible portrays the Holy Spirit as one having all characteristics of personality. It makes sense, then, for us to think of him as a person. The Holy Spirit indwells the Christian as a companion and friend. He also energizes, strengthens, and empowers the believer in Christ. The Holy Spirit is identified as a person by John. The Holy Spirit is presented as a personal being with a self-identity different from both the Father and the Son. As the Father and Jesus make this distinction when speaking of him. He, the Holy Spirit, says, "Separate Barnabas and Saul to me." He also is identified as I in Acts 13:2. Only an intelligent person could carry on a conversation with a person. Every quality, every action, which can indicate personality, is attributed to the Holy Spirit, in language which cannot be explained away. The main purpose of the Holy Spirit was to come alongside the believer, to do what Jesus did when he was here physically, but mainly from the inside of us. He is called the Comforter. This can only be done if the Holy Spirit is a person. The Helper is used for the Spirit in the NT by Jesus. This was used in Greek almost always of persons. Here the Lord calls him our Helper, one that comes alongside. He, the Spirit, says, "Separate Barnabas and Saul to me." He also is identified as I in Acts 13:2. The Holy Spirit cannot be another of the same kind unless he is a person. Jesus is a person. If the Spirit is another Comforter, this requires the Spirit to be a person also. How could he duplicate all the things of Jesus unless he is a person? When we speak of person, it does not necessitate form but personality and identity. Looking at the attributes of the Spirit, we find no difference in his nature, function, and communion with the believer than with Jesus. Romans 8:27, "He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints," 1 Corinthians 12:11, "but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, dividing to each one as he wills." Acts 8:29, "The Spirit spoke to Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" Revelation 2:3, "Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Revelation 22:17, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.'" Neither the Spirit nor the Bride are impersonal. The activities of the Spirit are all descriptions of what persons do. Many groups come to the irrational and illogical conclusion that he is only a force used by the Father to accomplish his purposes. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Paul uses the masculine pronoun he, giving him identity. The Holy Spirit is portrayed as a personal being with an identity different than both the Father and the Son. He is identified as I in Acts 13:2. As we understand that the nature of the Father and Son and Spirit have always been the same, they are all eternal. They all share in common the same essence, which is God. They also share in the divine name of Yahweh. All the attributes of God that are held in common with the Father and Son are shared also with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 3.16. Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9. Spirit of Life, Romans 8:2. Spirit of Truth, John 16:13. Spirit of Grace, Hebrews 10:29. Spirit of Promise, Ephesians 1:13. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit entered him and he received power and began his ministry. When did the new covenant begin? After Jesus was crucified and arose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," John 20:21-22. Up until this time, the disciples walked with Jesus, and believed in him. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples became born again, received salvation, received a measure of the Holy Spirit, but were not baptized with the Holy Spirit, were relieved of the law of Moses, Old Covenant, and began living under the New Covenant with Jesus. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. In Acts, Jesus spoke about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, while being in the company of his disciples and eating at the table with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with, placed in, introduced into, the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:4-5. So even though in John 20:22, Jesus breathed on the disciples and gave them the Holy Spirit, they did not receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. They were to wait for this in Jerusalem. The Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. The prophet Joel foretold the clay that the Holy Spirit would be poured out. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also on my menservants and maidservants I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Joel 2:28-29. Joel's prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, Acts 2:1-4. This pouring out of the Holy Spirit was not just for the disciples, but is for all who seek it. It is for us today. Then the apostles Peter and John laid their hands on them, one by one, and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:17. Why do we need the baptism with the Holy Spirit? We need the baptism with the Holy Spirit to give us power to do the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, Acts 1:8. After the disciples became born again in John 20:21-22, they were still not endowed with power to undertake the Great Commission. They did not preach the gospel. The apostles did not perform miracles until after Pentecost. They needed the Holy Spirit power to do this. Upon receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, there was no stopping the disciples. Peter immediately began preaching about Jesus and 3,000 were saved and added to the church. See Acts 2:14-41. Also, many signs and wonders and miracles were performed by the apostles, Acts 2:43. Jesus did not begin his ministry until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He did not do any miracles or healings until he received the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of us desire to serve the Lord. We want to preach the gospel. We want to see signs and wonders and miracles. In order to fulfill our calling, we must have the Holy Spirit. We must be baptized with the Holy Spirit, with fire and power. How to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit? The procedure to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not difficult. Ask for the Holy Spirit. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, Luke 11:13. Ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. Thirst for the Holy Spirit. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified, John 7:37-39. Sources: The Scripture. Class Notes. Disciple Evangelism, Andrew Womack. Internet.